Chapter 46.
In disbelief, I saw there was no way to win. I was defeated, and so I fled, escaping Hydon as the rebels took the palace. Amazingly, I felt like the fallen hero at that time, the true and just ruler of the Empire betrayed by his own people. I hated them for that, and swore revenge on everyone who dared oppose me. I would return and kill them all.
Daylan didn't know how long he stood there, crying into Arik's chest. After all that Daylan had done, especially to Arik, he never, not once, thought he would ever hear those words. It was amazing, impossible, but it had happened, and all he could do was weep in gratitude and relief. It was like a terrible weight had been lifted from him, and for the first time in 20 years his guilt was actually lighter. After a time, his tears eventually dried, and Arik took him by the shoulders.
"The island is getting close. You need to go and see what's happened."
Yes, he was right. Daylan would wonder at the miracle that had just transpired for the rest of his life, but for now, there was a city to try and save. Daylan wiped away his tears.
"No, we need to go."
Arik shook his head.
"I would, but my channeling ability is exhausted. I don't have much left either. No, wait. I can feel them. They're back at full strength."
"My healing," Arik said.
"It replenishes power, too?"
"It heals the body, and it's your body's ability to channel that was exhausted."
"Couldn't you have just healed yourself first?"
"Healing myself doesn't replenish my channeling ability, as it's that very ability being used to do the healing. It's like trying to repair something that's being damaged at the same rate, achieving nothing. But another bringer could do it."
Daylan looked about at the empty city.
"Yeah, I think we'd have trouble finding one. Blackett, your powers would be useful right now."
Daylan turned to the ominous shadow in the sky.
"The island will hit the city before I can reach it by jumping. We need a skyship, and a fast one at that."
"We can signal one of the ships ferrying people off the upper island."
"Maybe," Daylan said as he bonded light to his sight. Instantly he could see every ship before him in detail, and he recognized one. Daylan pointed.
"That ship heading back to the upper island. It's the Bloodrunner."
"Sane?"
Daylan smiled.
"It has to be. The kid is helping people evacuate."
"But it's too far away," Arik said, and pointed to another ship. "We might get the attention of that one."
"Nowhere near fast enough. If we want to reach the island before it hits, we need something like the Bloodrunner."
"Then how do we signal it?"
"Well, I did just see the knights perform a nice little trick. Let's see if I can do it too."
"Do what?"
"You'll see."
Daylan switched all his bonds to voice and whispered, thinking of Sane, focusing on him as if the lad were standing right near.
"Sane, this is Daylan. We need the ship. We're standing in the middle of the closest market square to the ship's left. Just look for a large, empty city block among the buildings."
"You can speak to people at a distance?"
"I hope I can, as otherwise that would have looked rather stupid."
"It looked stupid regardless."
"Thanks," Daylan said sarcastically, as he watched the Bloodrunner.
The ship didn't move, and Daylan could guess that if it worked, Sane might be questioning his own sanity at hearing Daylan's voice from nowhere. Daylan tried it again.
"You're not crazy, you idiot. This is one of my powers. Now hurry up and get your ass over here."
The ship jerked to a stop, hovered in the air for a second, and then turned to fly in their direction.
"It worked," Arik added.
"Yeah, and the kid's gotten fairly good at flying that thing."
"You calling everyone kid makes a lot more sense now, seeing as you're about as old as a fart can get."
"Before I changed, you should have smelled them. They were a power unto themselves."
The ship dipped low to fly in on their side. It pulled to a stop with Sane at the helm and Shara at his side.
"Do you have any idea how disturbing it is to hear a voice speak to you in your head?" Sane called out to them. "Especially when it's yours, Daylan?"
"I can imagine,"
Daylan said as Arik climbed aboard. Dalen pulled on the link to Imperius and his gauntlet, calling them to his hands, and then jumped high into the air to land at the helm of the Bloodrunner.
"Hello, Dalen. Bringer Arik," Shara said as she took Sane's arm.
"Hi," Dalen said flatly. He still didn't know what to make of Shara, but now wasn't the time to wonder.
"It is good to see you, child," Arik said.
"What under the light happened to you?" Sane asked, looking at Dalen.
Dalen looked down at his clothes. He really was a mess. His sleeves were completely torn off, nearly every inch of his clothing was blood-stained and tattered, and his skin was covered in dust and bits of dried blood.
"Nothing I didn't deserve," Dalen said back.
"Okay," Sane said with a shake of his head. "You want to take the helm?"
"You're doing a fine job as it is." Sane looked stunned.
"Really?"
"Yes, now hurry up and get this girl moving."
"Where are we going?"
Sane asked as he worked the levers which pushed the ship into motion. Dalen pointed to the approaching shadow.
"That thing? I had guessed it's what caused the evacuation. What is it?"
"Amenday Island," Arik answered as the Bloodrunner quickly gained speed. "It's flying toward the city and infested with enough shade to cloak it in darkness."
"The shade?" Shara practically squeaked out.
"Yeah, you might want to be dropped off somewhere," Dalen said. Shara breathed in and held Sane closer.
"I'm staying right here."
"Fine, we'll try and keep the ship at a safe distance." "All the registry stations are blocked up by other ships trying to leave the city," Sane said. Dalen pointed to a section of the shield. "The war gate is in that direction and should be open."
"It is?" Sane asked.
"There's a lot of people trying to leave the city who would like to know."
"Good point," Dalen said. "There was an order to keep it clear for the warships, but that's useless now."
Dalen bonded light to his voice and started to whisper, focusing on the captains of any nearby skyships, repeating the words, "The war gate is open. Let everyone know."
"What are you doing?" Sane asked.
"Sending a few direct messages, like I did with you."
"I hope they listen," Arik added.
"Me too," Dalen said. "Maybe they'll think the light is speaking to them in their time of need."
"Not with your voice," Sane said with a smirk.
"This is very troubling, Dalen," Arik said. "The knights should have reached the island ages ago. Yet it looks to be within a kilometer of the city, and the shades still remain."
"Yeah, something's gone wrong.
If a whole troop of Archknights have failed, what could we do to stop them?"
Dalen looked to the Bringer.
"I'm Daelus the Conqueror, remember? I'll think of something."
"Hang on, what?" Sane said incredulously. "You're Daelus the Conqueror?"
"Yeah, tyrant of ages, oppressor of nations, enemy of all, especially family pets," Dalen said dryly.
"Oh, and I purposefully redirect people's mail at every opportunity." Sane was looking at him open-mouthed before finally saying,
"All right, then. That explains a lot."
Then he looked back to the horizon as he piloted the ship. Shara was taking the news a little more seriously, her eyes wide with shock and fear.
"I thought you would have looked older," she said slowly.
"Eating your vegetables can do wonders."
The Bloodrunner was really moving now, the city flying by them in a blur. Sane really was doing a good job at piloting. The kid had an impressive knack for working things out. Dalen still offered Sane the occasional correction in his piloting, for which Sane seemed genuinely grateful. They flew through the war gate, and thankfully there were skyships following behind. They had got the message. A great shadow in the sky loomed before them as they approached.
"We have minutes before that thing will reach the outskirts of the city," Dalen said.
"Won't the shield stop it?" Shara asked.
"Not a chance."
"Then it's going to destroy the whole city," Shara said in despair.
"Most of it, at least," Dalen said, "if I can't stop it."
Arik was standing by the side railing and pointed before calling out,
"Look there! A ship approaching the island ahead of us!"
Dalen walked to the side of the ship as the one Arik pointed to was flying low and enhanced his sight.
"It's Lyra," Dalen said. "She's commandeered a trader. The thing is a quarter as fast as ours, so we should actually reach Haymonday at about the same time." "We should be close enough for your light sense to see what's on the island," Arik said. "If you enhance it, that is."
"You're right," Dalen said, and channeled all bonds to his light sense. He'd never enhanced it so much, but with it he could sense everything on the island. The rock and ground was hardest to make out, the grass and trees on the surface much easier, with people being bright and distinct. And then there were the dark voids. The shader on the surface. They're all lesser shade, which isn't as bad as it could have been. There seems to be people there, grouped in threes and fours. But I can't sense any light-binding powers being used. The shade are trying to get to them, but are being stopped. It's hard to make out by what, but I think they're bunkers or something. The rest of the people are deep within the island, near the back of the core. Dalen put a hand on Sane's shoulder. Fly us above the island and then match its speed. Whatever you do, do not cross into the darkness. Remember, you'll always be safe in the light.
Got it,
Sane said as he angled the ship upward. Dalen pulled off his gauntlet and held it to Auric. This isn't going to be much help. It's not like Imperius.
I would create a strong shield made of steel for you if I could, but...
There's a shield below deck, Shara said.
Dalen spun around.
What?
Yeah, that's right, Sane added.
Shara ran off.
I'll go get it, she called out.
And grab as many sunstones from their holdings as you can find, Dalen called after her.
He looked to Sane. Blackheart. He had a backup shield? Sane nodded.
Shara found it while helping me clean out the ship. Blackheart loved using his shield, after all. I think he trained with this other one.
Dalen nodded. It's useful to train with a heavier weapon than the one you fight with. They quickly overtook Lyra's ship and flew above the shadow. Shara returned with the shield and sunstones in hand. It was a large steel center grip kite.
Thanks, Dalen said, taking the shield in his left hand and tucking most of the stones under his shirt with what remained from his first lot.
He held two other stones in the hand that grasped the shield.
I could really use your help, Auric. I'm sorry, but it's up to you and Lyra. I have faith in you, Dalen. You fought these monsters before, and that was as a regular man. Now you're a lightbinder. Go. Bring the light back.
Dalen nodded, summoning forth Imperius, and ran to the edge of the ship, where he jumped and fell into the darkness. It brought back dark memories. The shadow was unnatural. Not merely the absence of light, it was a physical thing that pushed light back, making it weaker. Dalen closed his eyes to fully rely on his light sense. He had never really done this before. He had used it, of course, but not embraced it like this. And as he did, something remarkable happened. Darkness was all around, but every object below him on the approaching surface, especially the plants and trees, had a faint glow around them, in a way that he could make out their shape and appearance. It was a world of soft illumination. Even in darkness, there was light everywhere. Dalen landed on the surface with shrieks sounding close by. He searched with his sense and saw the flayed, rent bodies of the Archknights laying all around him.
Light, no,
Dalen said. How could this have happened? He wondered in horror. And then Dalen saw several things sticking out of their bodies. They were the backs of shot spikes. Kneeling down, Dalen pulled one out. The spike's head had four small sunstones fixed around an obsidian point. Darkstone. Dalen's rage mounted. Those Dawnists, the ones huddling in the bunkers, must have shot the knights with these darkstone-tipped spikes, nullifying their powers and making them easy prey for the Shades.
Bastards!
How did they learn of the knight's weakness? He shook himself. Thankfully, the Shade was still too preoccupied with the Dawnists huddling in the bunkers to have noticed Dalen. Lyra's ship suddenly appeared as it blew into the range of Dalen's light sense. With it, Dalen could see the whole thing. It was faint, but there was a shimmering outline that defined it. Lyra had flown the thing directly into the shadow. Light, that woman had balls. She jumped from the ship to land at his side, steel war sword drawn.
Careful, Dalen said to her. The Dawnists are using darkstone-tipped shot spikes. Also, from the look of it, these Shade have only recently been turned, which means no greater powers.
Lyra looked about at her fallen brethren, her face becoming an image of pain and rage.
No!
And then her face froze on one body in particular. She ran over to it, screaming,
Cusack!
Oh, light.
It was her Eurasian companion. His body had been ripped apart, his head and bright yellow hair lying lifeless. Lyra fell to her knees, crying.
"No, Cusack, no," she sobbed.
Dalen sensed the shade turn to them, finally realizing that two humans were out in the open. They took to the black sky, shrieking and flying toward them.
"Lyra, I'm sorry, but you don't have time to mourn," Dalen urged. "They're coming."
Lyra heaved a final sob and growled,
"I'm going to kill them all."
The shade reached them, and Lyra screamed in rage, swinging her sword with incredible strength and cutting Two Shade completely in half. Dalen drew on the light from the sunstones in his shirt and channeled one bond to his sword skill, one to his speed, one to his reflexes, and the last to his hearing. He lashed out with fury, and using this new combination of enhancements was unstoppable. The shade swooped and shrieked, but Dalen jumped and dodged like an acrobat, weaving in between them and cutting them apart, Imperius shattering with sound at each strike. Lyra was just as effective. She wasn't as fast as Dalen, but the shade could barely even hurt her. They might as well have flown into a rock face instead of attempting to charge at the woman. With her incredible strength, her sword slashed through the shade's thick flesh as if she were felling a tree with each swing. And then, with Dalen's enhanced ears, he heard what he had been expecting. The clicks of shooters. With his enhanced speed, he was at Lyra's side in a flash, dodging the spikes shot at him and blocking those that would have hit her with his shield. Unfortunately, the spikes were shot from multiple directions, and Dalen could only defend one direction with his shield. He could sense that there had been at least another 30 spikes that whistled past them in their general vicinity, including the one that struck him in the back. Dalen grunted in pain as each of his bonds were severed, the light he was drawing into his body being sucked right back out by the Darkstone. Before he could do anything, Lyra pulled the thing from his flesh and threw it away while fending off another Two Shade in the process. That gave Dalen the time he needed to heal, and he stood before deflecting another shade.
"They can't see us, so they're shooting volleys in our general direction," Dalen said. "We need to take out those bunkers," Lyra growled. "And follow me."
Dalen charged the nearest bunker where his sense outlined four people crouching within, Lyra running right behind him. The Dawnists must have been able to hear him, for they shot blindly in his direction. Dalen held his shield in front, blocking those spikes that were on point with several pinging sounds and bright sparks as they hit. The moment before he reached the bunker, he jumped and flipped back, letting Lyra pass under and crash through the whole bunker with an explosion of debris. The Dawnists inside were crushed. Dalen rejoined Lyra at her side. The room-sized bunker had been made out of some type of mortar-like stone, its roof slab having broken into three large pieces. Lyra picked up the largest piece, Dalen knocking aside Three Shade as she did, and threw the whole thing at the nearest bunker, which was still a good 30 meters away. The bunker exploded from the sheer force of the impact. Under constant attack, Dalen and Lyra ran to the two remaining bunkers, switching back and forth between defending the other from either shot spike or shade, and destroyed the wretched Dawnists hiding within.
"There's Three Shade left," Dalen said, as the last few shrieked and attacked.
Thankfully, the Shade rarely ever used any tactics, not unless directed by their more intelligent lords, and would never retreat. Dalen and Lyra cut the monsters to pieces, and Dalen wondered at who they had been before being turned. Dalen sighed as the darkness slowly faded. He held up Imperius before him.
"And that brings us to 763.
The glorious light returned to the island. The sky shone with its brilliant blue, the city, which they were very close to hitting, great and majestic before them.
"We're too late," Lyra said hopelessly. "We can never reach the core in time to stop this wretched thing."
Dalen
didn't know what to do. In moments, they would cross over the city and hit the upper islands.
"I'm a wretched fool,"
Lyra said as she wept, falling to her knees.
"If I hadn't chased you, I would have come here in time. I could have saved Cusack and my brethren. I put my own vengeance before the fate of the city. My hatred has doomed us all."
"No," Dalen said. "If you had left with the knights, you would have been caught off guard alongside them."
"You don't know that. I might have made the difference," she screamed.
Her shoulders fell as she looked down at Hydon.
"Now nothing can be done."
Dalen looked to the city. The island was flying right over the main highway and would cross the city's primary throughway, directly aimed at the High Road and Upper City Islands. Thousands of people were still crowded on the High Road trying to flee the city, not to mention those still on the islands.
"No, there has to be a way," Dalen cried. "I could figure it out if I had—" "Light, I'm an idiot!"
Dalen braced himself for the pain he knew this would bring and channeled all his bonds to his intelligence, closing his eyes. Given enough time, he could always come up with a plan. He prayed it would hold true. With his mind working 16 times faster and more efficient than normal, he asked himself what he could do. What had he not thought of yet? Plan after plan flashed in his mind as it worked at superhuman speed, each one useless. "I have to think out of the box," he thought. "Is there any other way I can use my powers that will help? Any way at all that I've never considered?" What could his powers do? They could enhance anything that was a part of his physical self. Anything that was a part of physical self. Dalen opened his eyes and said, "I know what to do."
"What?"
she asked disbelievingly.
"How?"
"No time to explain," he said, releasing his bonds and being assailed by a wave of pain. It was even worse this time. Using two bonds to power jump to the Blood Runner, which was still flying high above, keeping pace with the island, Dalen used his other two to heal his headache. The pain barely subsided this time, but Dalen was used to pain. He would just have to ignore it. He landed on the deck with Lyra right behind him.
"We're out of time, Dalen," Arik called out urgently.
"Not yet,"
Dalen said, running to the helm. Sane jumped aside, letting Dalen take control of the levers.
"Everyone strap themselves in, because this is going to be rough."
They did so, sitting on the inbuilt side benches and buckling the leather straps. The seat straps were there in case of storms and bad weather, for skyships rarely ever flew dangerously, especially with the inbuilt safeties. But Dalen had disabled the Bloodrunner's safeties falls ago so it could be towed. There were straps for the helmsman, but Dalen didn't need them. Instead, he bonded Light to his feet's grip, which practically fused him to the deck. Dalen yanked down the accelerator lever, and the whole ship audibly groaned as it shot forward like a shot spike, the Darkstone core threatening to rip itself from the ship's supports. She had never been built to accelerate so fast, but Dalen knew what she could handle. Everyone was thrown sideways in their seats as the ship accelerated incredibly fast, and as it reached the island's front edge, Dalen steered the ship to fly up in a flip, the G-forces truly intense, and then straight down, point first, like a plummeting arrow.
"Oh, Light, oh, Light, oh, Light, oh, Light,"
Shara panted in panic, squeezing her belt straps with white knuckles.
"I'm about to piss myself," Sane screamed.
"Dalen, I hope to the Light that you know what you're doing," Arik called out next.
"So do I," Dalen called back, pushing the ship to go even faster, the island's side flying past them in a blur.
Dalen yanked a back lever, kicking the ship into a wild, rotating spin which caused everyone else to scream, even Lyra. Dalen worked the ship's flight levers like a madman, fighting against the strain and directing the ship to the exact place he needed it to be before pulling the ship to a very quick but smooth halt. Well, not quite a halt. The ship was still moving, of course, in perfect pace with the island, the helm 5 meters from the island's side.
"Okay," Sane said with a totally pale face. "Now I really have pissed myself."
"Me too,"
Shara said, sitting next to him.
"Dalen, I had no idea you could fly so—"
Arik trailed off in amazement. Dalen ran to Sane and with enhanced strength ripped his straps off and dragged him to the helm.
"When I swing my sword, you kick this thing into reverse, you hear me?"
"Yeah, yeah, sure."
Dalen jumped off the helm and increased his mass so much that he came to a stop in the air and then fell crashing through the deck and the floors under it all the way until he reached the core, having reduced his mass incrementally with each impact so he could land without issue. The core room was where one could get access to the sealed Darkstone core of the ship and the Sunstone drivers fixed all around it. Dalen summoned Imperius and cut out one of the Sunstones inside a driver. A large hunk of brilliantly shining rock the size of a melon fell into his hand. Dalen jumped out of the hole he had made and in a great burst of speed ran to the bow. He held the large chunk of sunstone in his left hand, Imperius in his right. He pulled his right arm across his chest, Imperius pointing behind him, and clenched his teeth as he channeled each bond into his sword. Dalen sucked on the Sunstone's light for the biggest surge he could manage, channeling everything he had into Imperius. Imperius shone with blinding light and power, and Dalen screamed in rage and passion, slashing out at the island before him. As he swung, a line of white light shot out of Imperius in the shape of a blade over 2 kilometers long, which cut into the island, leaving a trail of light behind. The sound of shattering glass filled the air again and again, a deafening chorus as Dalen pushed his blade on. The pain was unbelievable, the light inside pushing on his body like he was getting torn apart. Bright thin lines of sapphire blue webbed across the white light where Imperius's true blade swung, forming a web of cracks that appeared and then disappeared in quick successive flashes. Shattering and shattering and shattering, the sword chimed until the enormous blade of light slashed out on the other side of the island. The massive island rumbled loudly as it was cut completely in two. With a final deafening rumble, the island's bottom half fell off. As the underside of the island's now exposed darkstone core was uncovered more and more, the light pushed the top half upward. The bottom half plummeted to the ground. The upper half still moved forward, but now at a steep upward angle, heading over the city's shield entirely. Sane had done as he had been told and flew the ship away from the two halves of the island. The sunstone was now the size of a marble in Dalen's hand, and he staggered, falling to his knees. The stone and sword dropped to the deck, Dalen losing all control over his body. He could feel that his heart had stopped beating, his strength completely sacrificed. It had been too much. Arik had warned him about surging, but he had needed that massive boost, as otherwise he would not have been able to cut through the whole island. He sagged and then slumped over, dying. And at the bow of the ship, there was no deck to catch him. He fell.
Lyra watched on in disbelief as the Conqueror did the impossible. Somehow, he was channeling light into his sword. She had not known that was even possible. None of the knights had. And the power! He was surging too much. He was going to kill himself. Dalus finished his strikes, which had all only taken an instant, though the vibrations and the sound had been deafening. He collapsed. Lyra pulled her straps off and stood to see the man who had just saved hundreds of thousands of lives fall from the ship.
"Dalen!"
the bringer called out, running to the ship's siding.
"Dalen! A skimmer! I need a skimmer!"
Time seemed to slow down for Lyra. This was what she wanted, wasn't it? That evil monster had stolen her from her family when she was only 14 years old and abused her constantly. He had murdered millions, and he deserved to die. Didn't he? She honestly didn't know. If she'd been asked a few hours ago, she would have answered yes without hesitation. But now? With tears running down her cheeks, Lyra raced to the side of the ship, calling out her sun-forged sword and dropping it on the deck, and then diving off, head first, increasing her mass. She plummeted like a shot spike, her increased mass pushing her through the wind resistance and falling with much greater speed than normal. She easily gained on Dalen, but it would still be very close for both of them. At 50 meters from the ground, she grabbed him, reversing her mass and switching her free bond to the link with her sword, and then pulled. Their fall quickly slowed and then stopped, a meter from the road under them. Lyra then gently slackened her link so that they drifted down the remaining distance. They landed right in the middle of the highway out of the city, a few 100 meters from the border of the shield. A massive crowd of evacuees were amassed here and were looking at them, utterly stunned. Lyra lay Dalen on the ground. He was dead. "Why did I even bother?" she thought to herself. No lightbinder would be able to survive a surge like that. I didn't save his life. But still, he didn't deserve to become a mess on the ground. He didn't deserve? What was she thinking? He deserved that and more. He was the great monster of her existence. Then why had she done what she had just done? Why, when looking at him, did she not feel as much hate as she once had? The massive throng of people had made a circle around them. The bottom half of the island had crashed onto the ground behind Lyra, forming a new broad hill. Lyra had seen these people trying to move out of the way of the island as it had flown over the land, the ominous shadow clearly scaring them away, so hopefully no one had been crushed by the bottom half. "We're saved," a woman said, off to Lyra's side.
"You saved us, Lady Archon," another person said.
"No, not me," Lyra said softly. "He did."
"Wait, I recognize him," someone else said. "He's that hero, the son of Daedalus the Conqueror."
"No," Lyra said, standing. "He is the hero that you've all been hearing about recently, but he isn't the son of Daedalus the Conqueror. This young man is Daedalus the Conqueror." The crowd gasped in unified disbelief.
"The light is capable of many great and wonderful things," Lyra called out. "Just look at the Lumatorium, or my own powers. For reasons I cannot fathom, the light saw fit to make the Conqueror young again, and he has been living each fall since then, trying to do good. Ultimately, he saved the whole city." She sighed. "I don't know what to make of him any more than you do."
The people were silent, apart from the murmurs spreading the news to those who hadn't been able to hear. Shifting wind caused Lyra to look to her side and see the ship they had been aboard come in low, a rope ladder being dropped. Arek and the two children climbed down, the purple-haired boy carrying the Conqueror's sword. The Lightbringer ran to the fallen tyrant, kneeling beside him and pulling him to his chest.
"Daylen!"
"Why do you cry, Bringer?" Lyra asked. "You wanted him dead as much as I."
"I did, but not anymore," Arek said, weeping. "I've forgiven him."
"What?" Lyra said, ignoring her own doubts.
"How could you?" "Because that is the only true path to peace,"
Arek said, looking at her with intense eyes.
"This man was no longer Daedalus the Conqueror."
"But if he really was Daedalus the Conqueror," a man spoke from the crowd, "it's a blessing he's dead."
"What are you saying?" another woman protested. "He just saved the city."
"It don't change what he's done," the man replied.
"Of course it does," another spoke out.
"And what if he had gone back to being the great bastard with those powers he had?"
yet another person said.
"Look at what he just did. He sliced a huge island in half. He could wipe out the city in a second if he wanted to."
The crowd erupted into a massive argument.
"I don't know much about the Conqueror and what he's supposed to have done,"
the young man who had flown the ship said softly under the riot of voices. Only those near could hear him.
"All I know is that this man saved my life in more ways than I can count. I'll love him forever."
"This can't be,"
the Bringer said with quiet resolve.
"I will not let him die. There is a reason why the light sent me to him. I can bring him back."
"Your last miracle?" Lyra exclaimed in shock.
"You can't give your life for his?"
"I can, and I..."
But the Bringer was cut off by a gasp of breath. From Daylen.
"Daylen?
Daylen! He's alive!"
the Bringer cried. Daylen gasped again, his hand reaching to the sky. The blue-haired girl with them sobbed in relief, and the crowd was a mixture of cheers and cries of fear.
"He needs to be healed,"
Arik said urgently. We need another Lightbringer. Someone find a Lightbringer.
No need, Lyra said, feeling completely incredulous.
He's channeling light. He's healing himself. But it's impossible.
He surged so much, she continued uncertainly.
No Lightbinder should have been able to survive that.
Daylan, the monster, breathed in heaving gasps.
How could he have survived? Lyra screamed in her mind.
And as she did, an answer came.
He has four bonds, she said in awe. His body must be capable of sustaining and channeling far more light than a regular Lightbinder, which means he can surge to a much greater degree. That must be how he survived.
Daylan sat up, holding his chest.
Ow!
He said expressively.
Arik laughed. Light, you had me worried.
Lyra felt sick.
Oh, she felt less hatred when looking on this man. But there was still plenty of it left. He was still Daylas the Conqueror. He had still done all those terrible things to her, and yet she had helped save him.
Oh, my head is pounding.
Where am I? Daylan asked.
The highway out of the city, the bringer answered. Do you remember what happened?
Remember? Light, I'll never forget. That hurt like a bastard.
Arik helped him to his feet, where Daylan noticed the crowd.
Arik, they're staring at me with a bit more intensity than I'm used to.
They know, Daylan.
Oh.
Here, the boy said, handing Daylan his sword.
From the sound you made when you struck the island, I thought it had shattered into a million pieces, but it doesn't even have a scratch.
Thank you, Sane,
Daylan said, taking the sword and looking at the blade.
I wasn't sure if the dark stone core of the island would have any effect, since the actual blade didn't touch it, just its projected power. I guess the effects travel both ways, which means any other blade would have shattered as soon as the dark stone core was struck.
It sounded like a million dinner plates being smashed, the young blue-haired girl said, as she clung to the purple-haired boy.
That was Imperius resisting the dark stone. Light, so many breakings were just used that I've lost count.
Breakings?
Arik asked. Imperius dematerialized into light that Daylan pulled into himself. Sonicals can't really become indestructible, but I did find a way to give them more lives.
Is that the secret? The boy asked. That's just how it functions, the Conqueror said. I won't be telling anyone how it's achieved.
Daylan, you should go,
Arik said, looking at the crowd.
Before word reaches the government of who you are.
Arik then glanced to Lyra.
After what you did in saving the city, I think even the Archon here will permit it. For now.
Lyra still didn't know what to do or what to think. She hated this man, the Conqueror. Yet just like the Bringer had said, he had saved the whole city, as well as Lyra's life, when they had fought together on the island, even after she had tried so hard to kill him.
Daylan looked to the crowd and didn't reply right away. He sighed.
No.
The Bringer tried to protest, saying, Daylan, you were right, Arik,
Daylan said. For 20 years I've been trying to punish myself. And in doing so I've denied all those I've wronged the chance to confront me as you have. But Daylan, they won't see you as a changed man. Look at what I went through before seeing it. They'll call for your head, the Bringer urged. Then I might finally get to rest. If I'm truly sorry for my crimes, I'll answer for them. I see that now. There's no other way.
Arik eventually nodded.
Very well,
but I'll remain with you through this.
Thank you, Arik, Dalen said, and stepped forward.
I am Dalas the Conqueror, he called out. Yes, I appear young, but that's because death was too good for me. I hate myself for all the evil I have wrought, and living with the guilt has been unbearable. So don't think that my prolonged life is a blessing.
Dalen felt tears on his cheeks as he continued.
I can never undo the terrible things I've done. And for them, I'm sorry. I know my apology does nothing to fix things, and everyone alive has some claim on me for justice. And so I'll let you. Tell the authorities that I wait for them at the Fulton. I'll come willingly and accept whatever punishment you feel I deserve.
Lyra watched as the monster walked away. The crowd parted before him to make a wide clearing. Whether this was out of respect or fear, she couldn't tell. Nor could she understand her own conflicted feelings. Part of her still wanted revenge. But was that needed? She had confronted her monster, fought him, and proven to herself that she was not weak or afraid. She felt good for that. Cuseg had been right. She had needed to confront her fears.
Cuseg, Lyra said, in agonizing remembrance, as she looked to the island that was rising high into the sky.
Cuseg, Kennet, Lem. Every archknight who had been in the city apart from herself was now dead. The sudden pain was nearly too much to bear.
Lady Archon, are you okay?
The young purple-haired boy asked. Lyra couldn't prevent a tear from running down her cheek, but when she spoke, her voice was stronger than she expected.
No, I need your help.
Sure, he said cautiously.
What can I do?
Fly me back to Hamunday. My brothers must be remembered.